Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Blessings to all. Welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at winbridge.org. Our guest tonight is Doreen Malloy, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number is 888-627-6008. So, Bob, what's new with you today?
Well, as you mentioned, in a little bit, we'll be talking with Doreen. I just wanted to make it clear that Doreen is an author and wrote a wonderful book called Proof Positive, and we're going to be interviewing her tonight about the book. So even though she's an excellent psychic medium, we're not going to be doing readings tonight. This will be an interview format. So I see you have on your desk, which I skimmed over, a story of ultimate forgiveness.
Ultimate forgiveness,
yeah.
In Iran. It seems that there was an execution of an Iranian who was convicted of murder, and it was halted at the last minute when the mother of the victim forgave him while he stood on the gallows with the noose around his neck.
Right, and as I recall, there were unusual circumstances leading up to that forgiveness. Right?
Right, and, you know, the article goes on and on and on, but somewhere tucked in there is this little kind of, oh, by the way, the mother who reported to the newspapers in Iran that her son, Abdullah, appeared to her in a dream and asked her specifically to forgive the murderer, who, by the way, was a friend of his. 7 years prior to this, they had a street fight, and one friend killed the other. And that was 7 years ago. They were 17 years old. They were kids. And now here it is, just before his friend is going to be hanged for his murder, he comes through to his mom and he says, "You got to forgive him."
Yeah, now just think about that dilemma, right? I mean, you have such vengeance, you know, because somebody murdered your son, and yet here you're interacting with your son who tells you that you should forgive him. So what goes through your mind? You may question, am I hallucinating this? Am I really? Was this really my son? She comes probably in her culture and her religion doesn't really believe in this stuff, you know? So what a quandary she found herself in, you know?
Right, and she does say, it's quite interesting, because as a parent, and I know we have a lot of listeners who specifically have lost children, so they can relate to her particular dilemma of the life that she had to lead after losing a son. And she says that, you know, she gave a speech before she actually forgave him. She stood up just before they were going to pull this noose, and she said, "Do you know what I have gone through all these years and how my life became like poison?" And that's very explicit. And then she slapped him. It's like she had to get the anger out.
One last thing.
Yeah. She slapped him, and then she publicly forgave him. They removed the noose from his head.
Right.
They did sentence him to prison because he did have to pay for the crime, but he didn't have to pay for it with his own life.
Hmm. Well, you know, it's not the first time that we've heard, you know, this. I mean, there are many accounts, and maybe even our listeners have been told this from going to mediums, where the loved ones in spirit stress the importance of letting go
Not taking revenge
and forgiving. Now, sometimes, you know, one might question, okay, well, is that something that the medium is just saying?
Right, of course.
Or is this really coming from my loved one? But there are plenty of accounts going back, you know, over 100 years, you know, from channeled reports from people that stress the very, you know, same thing. And I don't discount that. I mean, I would imagine you have a totally different perspective on things, and you see a bigger picture. So you don't want your loved one here ruining their own life. Instead of living their physical life to the fullest by filling themselves up with revenge and hatred and poisoning themselves, right?
Right.
You know, there was a story today. I don't know how many people out there are baseball fans, but last night in the New York Yankee game, there was a pitcher who was caught using an illegal substance, pine tar, you know, to get a better grip on the baseball. And this is something, and you may be wondering where I'm going with this, but pine tar has been used for forever in baseball. It's technically against the rules, but baseball never enforces it. Of course, this pitcher was blatant. Instead of hiding it, you know, put it right on a big glob of it on his neck, you know, so it was obvious to the cameras and everything else, and they had the umpires had no choice but to respond, and they threw him out of the game. But that sparked a whole controversy on the radio shows today, and I was thinking about it, how it related to mediumship, because people, the crux of the argument is that, yes, it's cheating, but it's, you know, there's an acceptable level of cheating, you know, because this didn't go down well because he was blatant about it. And then I was thinking mediums, to a certain extent, we've seen it so many times, even the good mediums sometimes, you know, resort to filler and giving their own conscious thoughts, whether they're aware of it or not. And it's considered to be really a form of cheating, right? Because if you're not getting the information from spirit, you're cheating. There's no question about it. But yet, people may not be aware of it, or it's acceptable, you know. So is there, in your opinion, is there an acceptable level of cheating in the mediumship world?
No, absolutely not. And I'll tell you the difference between this and baseball.
Right.
Baseball is a sport oriented around money and profit. And mediumship is a sacred ritual between the medium, the spirit, and the sitter, or the person here in the physical. And those are two entirely different ends of a spectrum. You cannot use mediumship for greed and gain. It doesn't work. We've seen that over and over and over again. You take the finest mediums, and when they stop honoring spirit in the way that spirit needs to be honored, their mediumship, so to speak, falters. It's not that their mediumship is faltering, it's that spirit doesn't want to work with them.
Yeah, well, there are out and out frauds. You know, there's blatant cheating.
Right.
And then sometimes the mediums are not even aware that they're cheating, you know, because they simply think that all their thoughts must be coming from spirit, you know. So they even though they're working information in, this filler, so to speak, he might interpret that as cheating. Because to us, it's clear that it's not coming from spirit. It's not evidential. But yet, the medium's unaware that they're doing it. So there are different degrees in mediumship, I found, you know, of this.
Yeah, kind. But I think a highly developed medium is getting the bulk of their information directly from spirit in a fashion that they recognize is coming directly from spirit.
Right.
Whereas, you know, if you're going to these classes where a medium is training you, they say, okay, say the first thing that comes into your mind. You know, it's not clear to you where that came from.
Right.
So if that's what a medium is resorting to, then that's cheating. maybe. but in a developed medium, they know the difference between something that just pops into their head and something that's actually presented to them from spirit.
Well, I guess we'll probably have some thoughts about that. So
I'll be glad to hear that. So then let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll hear more about the unseen world from our guest, Doreen Malloy. Stay tuned.
Hello, my name is Lauren Halpern, and I'm a Reiki master. I enjoy bringing peace and inspiration to people. I conduct healing circles with inspiration, meditation, and Reiki at different community developments, religious institutions, and many other locations. People react so wonderfully to my events. For more information, please contact me, Reiki Touch by Lauren, at 954-464-0087. That's 954-464-0087, or email me at laurenhalpern@gmail.com. laurenhalpern@gmail.com.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Doreen Malloy. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at winbridge.org. Bob?
And Doreen Malloy is a voice that you may have heard before. She is the author of Proof Positive, Metaphysical Wisdom, but she also wears many hats. She's a psychic medium with a private practice in New Jersey. She's a research medium with the Winbridge Institute. She's a certified medium with Forever Family Foundation. She sits on the medium advisory boards of both organizations. She hosts Forever Family Foundation's Mediums and Messages radio show, which you can listen to every third Thursday of the month. So tonight we're turning the tables, and we're interviewing Doreen in her capacity as an author and seeking some of her wisdom. And I should also add that Doreen is also a licensed grief recovery specialist. She's licensed by the Grief Recovery Institute of California, and her website is her name, DoreenMalloy.com. Well, welcome, Doreen.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, so we're turning the tables on you.
I know you are. I know. This is fun, though. I like this.
Good. Well, I mentioned just before about your work with as a grief recovery specialist. So it's interesting because mediums, you know, by the nature of the work that you do, you're always interacting with the bereaved. So does this training work in with your mediumship practice? Does it help you?
Oh, it does. It helps tremendously. You know, years ago, it was about 10 or 11 years ago that I looked into getting some kind of grief training just for that purpose because, you know, people were coming to see me, and obviously, you know, everyone's loss is very, very different. So I was beginning to notice that people were in different stages, if you will, of grief. You know, some were in a deeper stage of grief than others. And I really wanted to have some kind of a foundation that would not only help me to help them, but also to help me to speak with them the right way, say the right things, and most importantly, not say the wrong things, you know.
Yeah.
Because there's an awful lot in our society that really doesn't teach us, you know, what we should do and what we shouldn't do. So I came across the Grief Recovery Handbook. I had bought a couple of different books on grief, and that one just really resonated with what I was looking for, so I got certified in the program. It's a terrific program, really great.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you say that because, I mean, most of the better evidential mediums have a pretty good handle on grief and what people are feeling, but we've witnessed some, you know, mediums doing readings where you're just aghast. I mean, they just have no clue. It's
yeah.
Some things that they say. So I would imagine it should be a requirement for some mediums to go through a program like that.
Right.
You know, I remember in your book, you wrote an interesting thing about your development in that as a teenager, you had a precognitive experience where you had a conversation with a friend, a very specific, detailed conversation with a
right.
friend while you were dreaming. And then the next day, you found yourself in a situation where it was playing out. Your friend was saying exactly the same things that you heard in the dream.
Right.
So did these intuitive experiences, like, precede your mediumship?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's precognition. And, you know, that can kind of play out in the dream state, but you could also have a precognitive experience in the waking state. For me, that was my first introduction to it. And I was in high school at the time, so I was only about 15 or 16 years old. And those were the kinds of things that happened to me in my teen years and also early adulthood. Mediumship did not develop for me until a little bit later. So it's almost as if, like, I guess I had to get to that point where I was ready for that. I was ready to have that kind of connection. And then when it came in, it just kind of came in full blast, you know, and then I had to make the decision whether or not I wanted to develop it. But early on, it was just kind of psychic, you know,
yeah.
more psychic stuff.
So when you had, when that scenario played out, were you kind of freaked?
yeah, you could say that. Yeah. That was a little, it was interesting. I found it, I was a little bit freaked out, but I was also really fascinated at the same time because that's what led me on the path of really wanting to learn more, you know?
Right. So maybe that happened for a reason.
I'm sure it did.
Yeah. Well, you wrote a chapter in the book about sacred spirituality.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, when you use that term, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you mean by the term and how it factors into your work at the museum?
Well, I chose those words specifically because I came across something very interesting in my research. One day I looked up spirituality in the dictionary, and it said religion. And I thought, that's interesting. So I looked up the word religion, and guess what it said? Spirituality.
Right.
And so that I kind of stepped back from that a little bit, and I said, no, these are different things. These are not the same things. And so basically that's what that chapter in the book is about. And the way I describe it, I guess the best way for me to describe this is to say that religion is following an outer path, and spirituality is looking within and following an inner path. It's not so much about following spirituality is not so much about following the teachings of others as it is following the teachings of your body, mind, spirit, your soul, what your heart's telling you. And so I wanted to make that distinction in the book because I felt that people don't know the difference. And it became incredibly evident to me by finding it in the dictionary, you know, that way.
Yeah.
And so I talk a little bit in that chapter also about what spirituality is for me and, you know, and also the fact that there are so many people who are really very connected, spiritually speaking, but they don't necessarily espouse a particular religion.
Mm.
Or they don't practice the religion that they grew up with, you know, the one that was taught to them or as I like to call it, part of their historical conversation. So it is very, very different.
Yeah. And when I mean, do you consider your work as a medium to be a sacred endeavor, a spiritual endeavor?
I do. Yes, very, very much so.
Yeah.
I don't feel as though I do this work on my own. You know, people come to whatever their understanding of God or God consciousness is really different for everyone. But it's the notion for me that there is something greater than I am, or having more wisdom than I certainly do here on Earth. And it's also tapping into what I refer to as the higher vibrations. And, you know, that information from those vibrations can come from different places. Sometimes I feel like it's coming from an angelic realm. Other times I feel very, very connected to guides, you know, spirit guides or my master guide. Other times it can feel more like it's God consciousness, you know. So there's a lot of different frequencies or realms where I feel that those realms are of a much higher wisdom, greater wisdom than what we have here. And I don't think I would be able to do this work if I wasn't tapping into something higher.
Right.
So that's the best way I could describe it.
Yeah, and along with that comes this subconscious wisdom, and it's not relegated only to mediums, right? We all have this ability to
yes.
tap. When you talk about subconscious wisdom, you're talking about, I guess, what you were just saying, where we tap into our guides or our higher self or maybe even archetypes, gain information, right? So that you would also interpret as a sacred or a spiritual endeavor, I assume.
Yes, and when you're tapping into these other realms or these other frequencies, it's as if, think of it as you're turning on your listening and you're getting input. You know, I always like to say that even when whether I'm connecting with guides or even in mediumship, when I'm connecting with someone in the afterlife, I think of, you know, them as the transmitter and me as the receiver, you know, and I'll oftentimes tell people, you know, think of me as your interpreter. I'm turning on my listening to them and they're sharing information in various different ways, you know, with me. And I'm going to do my very best to interpret that information and deliver it in a meaningful way. But it's definitely a connection. It's mind to mind. It's heart to heart. It's soul to soul. And we as mediums, you know I say this for myself, I have to open myself to that and allow that information, give permission for that information to come through.
Mm. And so mediums, you would say, definitely enter into some sort of an altered state of consciousness when they're communicating with spirit, or would you say?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, another great way to describe it is to say that we actually have to get out of our own way. Because if I can't do mediumship for somebody if I'm thinking about it, I can't use my thinking mind because it's not an intellectual process, really.
Yeah.
What I do is I kind of turn that off or move that to the side, you know, whatever visual kind of works. And then I use what I call my feeling mind, and I try to feel the information, you know, as it comes through, and then, of course, do my best to interpret it. But it's a very different process. It really is different. It's not a function. How do I say this? It's not a function of my mind. It's just really a function of interpretation. I'm really just listening. I'm listening and waiting for the input to come in.
Right.
You know, so it isn't something that I'm consciously doing. It's just a listening, and I'm just allowing it to flow.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to for a lot of people to have their brain or their or their minds step aside, like you say, and act only
yeah.
to the receiver without giving any outward information, just taking it in. And I guess meditation helps with that, right?
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, meditation is actually essential to that, really, to just kind of slowing the brain waves down just a little bit. You don't have to be in a very, very deep meditative state, but just enough so that the mind is relaxed and you can kind of turn that off temporarily and just allow another type of information to flow
yeah.
in a different way.
Let me ask you this. Does it ever happen while you're connecting with spirit, you're doing a reading for a sitter, the evidence is coming through, do you ever find yourself, or maybe you're not aware of it and the sitter tells you, but you start to exhibit some unusual mannerisms?
Body? All the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Something
yeah,
that along with the messages?
Yep, that happens a lot, actually. Obviously, it doesn't happen on a phone session with somebody, but with my in-person clients, they will notice that I'll use my hands in a particular way, you know, gestures, sometimes even facial expressions or the way certain words are phrased, you know, could be exactly the way their loved one said that phrase.
Mm.
One of the things that some people do in mediumship is mediumship training sessions, they like to videotape mediums as they're reading for a group. Because in the videotape, they will see the mannerisms. It's one way that they can kind of observe that. I think that's kind of a common thing. I think a lot of us do that.
Yeah, and it makes sense when you think about it, because maybe the person in spirit is having some difficulty in getting you to verbalize something, but finds it
right.
easy to instill these mannerisms to you, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And people recognize them. You know, I'll be just, you know, I'll be speaking and sharing whatever it is that I feel, you know, the person in spirit is sharing with me. And they'll stop me and say, see that thing you're doing with your hand? My mother used to do that all the time, you know. So they'll call it to my attention, and it really is very subconscious. I don't realize I'm doing it.
Mm. Now, I know that you write about it in the book, but there are many people that are not aware that there is a difference between psychic information and,
mm-hmm.
and spirit communication. Have you witnessed other mediums, you know, maybe mediums that are not so developed and doing readings, and then you thought to yourself, this is all psychic, you know, this
mm-hmm.
is the discarnate. I guess that you've witnessed that. Does that happen a lot? Or
no, not really too much. I mean, I think most mediums really know that they are mediumistic. There is a difference, though, in the information that comes through. Clearly, there's a difference. And I guess the best way, I don't really observe it too much in other people, but the best way to describe the difference, just so that, you know, our listeners understand what the difference is for us, is that psychic information is really a function of our higher mind. You know, it's I like to say, a sense of knowing something without knowing how you know. And you just, excuse me, share that information. Mediumship is a stream of consciousness that's coming from somewhere else, and that is what we're listening to and opening ourselves to. So it's not really a function of our mind. Psychic information is.
Mm. A lot of people have said, and a lot of things that I've read, some believe that, you know, those that are in the spirit realm, they work even harder than the medium, you know,
mm-hmm.
in an effort to communicate it. It's something that maybe they need help with. So do you envision or believe that the deceased maybe have their own mediums where they are? That you know?
Yeah, that's actually a good way to say it. And as a medium, if we're doing a reading for somebody, I know if I am, whoever the first person is that steps forward, we oftentimes refer to that as the main communicator. And the main communicator can be interpreted as the medium in the spirit world. And the reason why you would say that is sometimes they will give us information, right? And then they'll step aside and they'll let me connect with someone else and have, you know, somebody else come through that I can actually feel that second person's energy. And then maybe a third person. But sometimes the main communicator does not want to give up that spot. And they want to be in the spotlight, so to speak, and they will deliver information from someone else on the other side or tell me somebody else is on the other side. And if they do it that way, and it's really up to them, they become literally the medium in the spirit world.
Right. Yeah, I know that many of the historical mediums in the Victorian age had mm-hmm. these controls, you know, that where the information, you know, came from the control of whatever.
Right.
It really is a collaborative effort. You devote an important chapter in the book that addresses a question that so many ask, which is why bad things happen, you know, in the mm-hmm. physical world, you know. So, I mean, do you think that we sometimes create our own realities?
Well, I think, yeah, I do think we do that. And the interesting thing about why bad things happen is kind of the same reason why good things happen, because all things must happen. I like to refer to this place we call home as Earth School. And it's like the great classroom of life, and it's kind of, if you think about it, one lesson after the other. I mean, we come here to learn. And how are we ever going to get those life lessons if we don't have the challenges, if life doesn't provide us with the challenges for us to learn from? Okay? So it's kind of, we do come here with that purpose. I feel like we come in with that purpose. Sometimes I refer to it also as coming into physical life or physical lifetime with a soul contract. I think we come here on a mission. I think there are certain things we want to learn. And then once we're here, it is a collaborative effort on some level with regard to the challenges that we're presented with. And I think maybe we create some of those too, to really kind of place us in that arena for learning.
So that soul contract would be a contract between you and your higher self?
No, between you and your loved ones. Because I think before any of us ever take our first breath, we are agreeing to come in kind of as a soul group. We're agreeing to come into physical life and experience a lifetime and a culture and a time period and all that good stuff together, which is probably why so many people feel that they have a soulmate or that they have a karmic connection, because it's almost like soul memory. It's like they remember each other, you know?
Yeah.
So I think part of the soul contract is what it is we want to accomplish here. In other words, what's the mission? And then the other part of it is, who are we going to experience this with? And I think we choose each other.
And if we are learning, you know, these lessons or doing what we contracted to do, mm-hmm. do you think that helps us when we physically die and move on to the other realm? I mean, are we more comfortable? Are we more advanced, you know, because of the work that we did here?
I hope so. I hope we are. I mean,
an easy question.
but here's the thing with that, though. Yeah. Once we're here, we have free will.
Right.
So life is going to present us with options, and we have to make decisions. But will we make ones that will further our progress? It doesn't necessarily have to be a right decision or a wrong decision. I mean, I think many paths can lead to the same thing. But it's really about progressing forward. It's about personal growth, it's about spiritual growth, and I think that's what counts in the end.
Mm. And free will may very well count where we're going as well, you know, in the realm. Yeah. Well, we're going to is it time for our break? Just about. So, and something that you're very familiar with, Doreen.
Yes, I am.
To explain it to you.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to go to our break, and when we come back, we're going to hear more about this unseen world we're talking about with Doreen Molloy. Stay tuned, and we'll be back in a few.
Hello, my name is Lauren Halpern, and I'm a Reiki master. I enjoy bringing peace and inspiration to people. I conduct healing circles with inspiration, meditation, and Reiki at different community developments, religious institutions, and many other locations. People react so wonderfully to my events. For more information, please contact me, Reiki Touch by Lauren, at 954 954- 954-464-0087. That's 954-464-0087. Or email me at laurynhalpern@gmail.com. LORYNHALPERIN@gmail.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Just tuning in, our guest tonight is Doreen Malloy. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at windbridge.org. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to our show, it's time for some foundation updates for our listeners. Did you know that you can financially support the work of Forever Family Foundation, a 100% not-for-profit organization, without sending us a single pretty penny? When shopping on the Internet, think of us before you go to Amazon.com and instead go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and use the Amazon link to get to Amazon. Don't worry, there's a link on every page of our new website. And if you add that one simple step to your shopping, a dollar percentage of everything that goes into your shopping cart will generate a donation from Amazon to us. And what if you don't shop on Amazon? Not a problem. There's another way to be certain that almost all your website shopping produces a donation for Forever Family Foundation without you having to send us anything. Visit iGive.com. Sign up with iGive. It's free. Name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. And just like with Amazon, a portion of your spending results in a donation to Forever Family Foundation. Once you set it up, each time you shop on the internet, iGive.com will automatically send us a donation when you shop in one of their more than 1,400 online stores that you're probably already shopping in, like Adobe, DSW, Expedia, J.Crew, and Radio Shack. And one last thing, you'll need a credit card to shop online, so if you don't already have one or need another, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. And our Holiday of the Earth raffle winners were pulled on Earth Day, April 22nd. Their names are posted on our Facebook page. So if you go there to check, please remember to like us. It moves us up in the rankings, so thank you for that. And if you are a winner, please do not call or write the office. We're currently making arrangements with the mediums for contacting the winners without compromising the readings. And if you're not one of our winners, we thank you for supporting our work with your participation in the raffle. Please continue your support when our Holidays Past raffle is launched in the next few weeks. Our annual grief retreat is set for the week of July 25th to 27th back at the wonderful guest house in Chester, Connecticut. We have also added on a day just for parents who have lost children. Details are all up on the website, and it is a very special weekend of a small group of like-minded people sharing a very special journey. So if you want to be a part of this, make your arrangements early. You do not want to miss out on this meaningful experience. If you'd like to save money, we can put you into a double or triple with other attendees of the same gender. Reservations can be made via the event page on our website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And many of our listeners already know that March marked our 10th year as a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, serving the world in our mission to prove that life continues even after the physical body dies. In celebration of this event, we are revisiting our very first event from 2004. With a 10-year update on the current research that supports the existence of the afterlife. Please join us on July 29th at Long Island University, where Dr. Piero Calvi-Parisetti will present The Afterlife, A Scientist's View, and will be followed by a demonstration of spirit communication for those in attendance by Forever Family Foundation certified medium Laura Lynn Jackson. And lastly, please save the week of November 6th through 11th for our annual Afterlife Conference and Convention. This will be a big one, and you don't want to miss out on all the pomp and circumstance. Back to you, Bob.
That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I wanted to add that at that grief retreat in Connecticut, one of our sterling presenters and facilitators would be Doreen Malloy. Ever hear of her?
Oh, I did.
Okay. We are talking with Doreen Malloy. She's the author of a very good book, which I would recommend, Proof Positive Metaphysical Wisdom. Website is DoreenMalloy.com, and you could read about a bunch of stuff that she does, including, in addition to private readings, mediumship workshops and discussion groups, which is something new for you. I mean, Doreen, you're taking topics that people have questions about, and you're having groups of an open forum where these things are discussed. So.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and it really helps to bring like-minded people together, and it also gives them a platform to kind of bring their own information, ask questions. There'll be a Q&A session, and I really enjoy doing these types of presentations. I do everything on PowerPoint, so it's a really nice presentation that they get, and it's just, it'll be fun. There'll be coffee, there'll be snacks, and there'll be lots of great conversations. So all of that info is up on my website.
Okay, and that's DoreenMalloy.com. You know, I'm going to ask you a question that I've never asked a medium before. I don't even know if I could make myself clear on what I'm asking, but I'm going to give it a shot. So I'm reading a reincarnation account, children who remember past lives. So let's say that you were conducting a reading for such a person, a young person who remembered specific details about a prior life that he or she led. Mm-hmm. So during the reading, has it ever happened, or do you think it's possible that some of the evidential information that you're getting may be from the sitter's past life?
If I'm doing a mediumship reading, you mean?
Yeah.
No, not usually, because the whole point, I think, for most of us who do mediumship is to provide enough evidential information that the sitter can identify. They need to be able to identify it. And more important, they need to be able to identify who the person is that we have this connection with. So I've never really experienced that where information would be really more connected to a past life situation. You know, the other thing for me is that I don't really specialize in past life readings.
Right.
And the reason I don't is simple, really, because there's really no way to validate it.
Right. That's why these cases, and I think it would make for a good research study, you know, if one of these...
Mm-hmm.
Some of these young children remember of explicit details, you know, and that are investigated, you know, by the researchers, you know. So, you know, I don't think that anybody's ever taken one of these, you know, children, you know, and sat them, you know, with a medium to see what comes through. But that would be interesting. I have a question. You also write in the book about pets, and I
mm-hmm.
know you've brought through. Pets in readings, and other mediums have as well. So I guess that would indicate that pet consciousness, animal consciousness, survives physical death as well.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Now, there are mediums, though, just to clarify, who do connect directly with animals in spirit. I don't really consider myself to be one of them because, for me, it's a different vibrational frequency. It's not something that's easy for me. I'm not really attuned to it, so it's not easy for me to tune in. However, when I'm connected with people in the afterlife, sometimes I will get their animals. They will show me animals, or they'll hold up a cat or a dog, or I'll hear birds chirping, or I might hear dogs barking. And so I will usually bring that up because it's their way of, you know, the spirit's way of letting us know that the animals are there with them. But there are mediums also that actually connect with animal consciousness and will bring through information on behalf of the animal.
Right. So I get what you're saying. And in most of the readings that you do, it's another way of spirit to present evidence through
right.
you.
Yeah.
Show
mm-hmm.
the image of one. Whereas some, I guess what they're doing is they're... connecting telepathically with the animal consciousness, right? I mean, it must be a similar process to with people that were human in the physical.
Yeah, and it's comforting. It's
yeah.
really, I mean, you know, our pets are like our little baby fur babies, you know? They're like children to most of us. And it is nice to know that we will get to be with them on the other side, you know, that they're in that realm with us, so to speak.
Right. So... tell me about auras. When you're reading somebody, do you ever, while you're doing the reading, do you ever see them surrounded by a specific aura?
I don't visually see auras, but I do have an interesting kind of experience related to that. Sometimes I will see a dimness or an absence of light around somebody, and very oftentimes if I see that, it means that they are seriously ill. Or perhaps their life force is just kind of ebbing a little bit. So it's kind of like just a sensing of their energy feels is a little bit dimmer.
Mm.
I can feel energy around them. I'm aware of the energy fields around people, but I don't visually see the aura. I don't see the colors of the aura, and I don't see the aura itself.
Right.
I can sense it and feel it.
So how do you handle that, where you see that dark energy? I mean, do you communicate that?
Usually it has something to do with a person's health, and because I am also empathic, and I'm really able to pick up on sensations and different things that are happening in other people's bodies, I will usually bring it to their attention and just ask them, is there an issue here, or why might I be picking up, you know, on some kind of maybe distress or discomfort or something, pain in the body, and then that will lead us on to that conversation.
Okay. What about during a mediumistic reading, do you ever get information from a discarnate that's negative in nature? I mean, it doesn't seem to happen too often.
It's interesting. It's not. I don't get information from a discarnate that's negative for the sitter. I will get sometimes information from a discarnate describing negativity they dealt with in their lives.
Right.
But I think that's different, because I think when that kind of information comes through, it's to really help identify who we have.
Right. But you're not getting, I have your deceased husband George here, and he's telling me that he hated your guts.
No. And you know what? If I did get that,
right,
I would probably phrase that a little more delicately.
I'm sure you would, because you have a lot more tact than I do.
Okay, just so we're clear.
Oh, yeah. I perfectly understand.
Uh-huh.
So prior to doing a reading for someone, do you ever get information before the actual reading takes place? I mean, maybe through a dream or in a meditation or some other
fact? No, I don't get it through dreams, but sometimes I will feel the discarnates that want to come through before the person is actually either in my office or on the phone with me. It doesn't happen with every reading, but sometimes it does. And my feeling about that is, when it does happen, it usually is like, I think they're so excited on the other side that they're doing this, and that they're going to be able to facilitate this connection. I think they get excited just like the people here do. Living people.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course it has something to do, obviously, with my perceptive senses as well. But, yeah, sometimes it does happen pretty clearly also.
All right. Well, we have a couple of minutes left, not many, but I didn't want to let you go. I know that you have, you know, these wonderful workshops on how people can develop their intuitive and mediumistic skills. So can you just give us a quick little tidbit to those that are listening about what some advice you might give them for those looking to make their own connections?
Well, with regard to mediumship, number one, I think, on the list is to really find a way to meditate. And I usually tell people you don't have to be a master at meditation. You just have to kind of get into a nice, relaxed state and, you know, practice it. The more you practice, the easier it gets. And even if you're doing that for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it doesn't have to be a long meditation. But I think it's essential for anybody that wants to connect with their own loved ones. We're not talking about somebody developing as a medium or like they want to go as a professional, but just you want to connect with your own family and your own loved ones. To just find a way to slow down your brainwave activity a little bit, really get to that nice space of relaxation so that you're able to create some kind of a link. I often tell people there's only two ways I know of that we can create a link. One is through meditation and the other is through dreams. I don't know of any other way, you know,
right,
that you can facilitate the link.
Right.
So meditation is number one. Number two, set your intents. You know, if you're learn to walk before you run, so learn to meditate and just relax. And then once you kind of have that down, get into a meditation and ask them to come visit you. You know, if it's someone that you love and miss, tell them that and just say, come and visit me. I need to know that you're okay. And whatever you want to share with me is fine. Kind of leave it open-ended. And then I tell people just kind of still your mind and see what comes through. And you can analyze it later. Don't analyze it as it's happening. But I think the most essential thing is those practices, and also to do this frequently. Practice it, just like you would practice anything else.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for that. It's excellent advice, and I'm sure our listeners appreciate it. The book, if you want to learn more, the book is called Proof Positive, Metaphysical Wisdom, There is an Amazon link to the book on our website. Doreen's website is DoreenMolloy.com, and that's DoreenMolloy.com. Thank you so much, Doreen, and we look forward to hearing you on Mediums and Messages.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Leanne Ashley, David Mello, Ann Hutchinson, John Gahowie, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Kimberly Saavedra, Rachel S., Jeanette Davies, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Marian Pierzga, Stanley Mullen, Julie B., Glenna Irwin, Lynn Austin, Michael Tim, Patty Potter, Christina DiDonato, Barbara Petillo, David Haith, Rita Springer, Eileen Lafata, Mark Maron, Wendy Lippo, Vicki Steffi, Barbara Russell, Tim Donahue, Francis Mastracco, Jean Lash, Joel Orman, Philip McGee, Tracy Lee Nash, Rita Dreyer, Gina DiDonato, Magnus Scott, Truep, Chip Reichenthal, and Tom Donahue. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.